Lucas Diaz from Laos Point. This is the Rorschach Argentina update from the 2nd of July, 2026. A quick summary of what's going down in Argentina. Let's start with the significant shakeup at the very top of the government. Manuel Adorni resigned as chief of staff on Saturday the 28th after enduring over 100 days of heavy scrutiny regarding an unexplained surge in his personal wealth. While he posted a lengthy farewell letter on Twitter denying all corruption accusations and blaming the media for running a smear campaign against him, federal prosecutors have subpoenaed his financial records after discovering undeclared luxury properties, a private flight to Uruguay, and thousands of dollars in hidden Bitcoin savings. After Adorni's resignation, before Argentina's third World Cup match, President Milei did not leave the position vacant for long. He immediately appointed Diego Santilli, who was interior minister, to take over the role. The interior ministry will no longer exist as a standalone entity and is instead being absorbed directly into the chief of staff's office. Santilli, a seasoned career politician with deep ties to the pro party, is expected to bring some much-needed political expertise to a cabinet that has broken records for high turnover. Since we mentioned the president, his schedule was completely rearranged by this cabinet shakeup. Milei canceled his scheduled trip to Paraguay for the Mercosur Leaders Summit so he could stay in Buenos Aires for Santilli's appointment. While the official line is that he chose to focus on domestic affairs, insiders note the move conveniently allowed him to avoid an awkward encounter with Brazilian President Lula da Silva, given their deep ideological differences. Instead, Pablo Kirno, the foreign minister, represented Argentina at the summit. Meanwhile, Milei spent his Monday hosting Flavio Bolsonaro, the son of Jair Bolsonaro, and Lula's main contender for the upcoming Brazilian elections, at the Olivos residence, adding a bit more fuel to that regional diplomatic fire. Back to the topic of the FIFA World Cup, Argentina's national football team wrapped up its group stage matches with maximum points after a convincing 3-1 victory over Jordan on Saturday the 28th. Lionel Scaloni, the head coach, used the match to experiment benching superstar captain Lionel Messi for the first hour to give 7 rotation players their tournament debuts. Giovanni Lo Celso opened the scoring with a brilliant free kick, followed by Lautaro Martinez's penalty before halftime. But the stadium completely erupted when Messi subbed on and curled in a signature free kick to seal the game. This goal extended Messi's historic all-time World Cup record to 19 goals. The reigning world champions are now packing their bags for Miami, where they will face tournament underdogs Cape Verde in the knockout rounds on Friday the 3rd. Speaking of international news, a horrific natural tragedy has struck northern South America. Venezuela was hit by devastating twin earthquakes measuring 7.2 and 7.5 magnitude, leaving more than 1,700 people dead, thousands injured, and an estimated 50,000 missing under the rubble. The disaster has hit home in Argentina, where local footballer Lucas Trejo, who plays for a Venezuelan club, tragically lost his wife and children in the collapse. The foreign ministry has also confirmed that 6 Argentine citizens are among the dead. Despite the incredibly frozen and confrontational diplomatic relations between Buenos Aires and Caracas, President Milei swiftly authorized a task force to send rescue teams, medical personnel, and humanitarian aid to help the Venezuelan people. Now here's an update on the administration's ongoing battles with public institutions. The Supreme Court delivered a blow to the Milei administration on Thursday the 25th by upholding a lower court ruling that mandates the full implementation of the university funding law. Congress originally passed the bill last August to guarantee operating budgets and adjust salaries for professors and university staff. Milei had vetoed it to protect his zero deficit goals, but Congress overrode his veto, prompting the administration to pass a decree freezing the funds anyway. The High Court's decision means the government must legally honor the funding and student programs while the broader legal merits are reviewed, putting pressure on a recent separate salary agreement reached between unions and the Human Capital Ministry. On that note about technology and global alliances, the government has officially aligned itself with Washington's tech strategy. Argentina has joined Pax Silica, a U.S.-led international coalition designed to secure supply chains for advanced artificial intelligence by protecting semiconductor manufacturing and critical minerals amid the technological Cold War between the United States and China. Local economists view this as a rare opportunity to boost Argentina's knowledge economy, which recently raked in $10 billion as the country's third largest export cluster. While the government looks for high-tech investments, it is also plotting a highly secretive financial scheme to pay down its heavy sovereign debts. Word has leaked that Argentina is preparing to launch a Golden Passport Citizenship by Investment program later this year. Wealthy foreign investors will reportedly be offered an Argentine passport in exchange for a non-refundable donation of about $500,000, or by purchasing $1 million in zero-coupon sovereign bonds. The scheme is explicitly designed to lure wealthy Americans and Europeans looking for a safe haven from global conflict, and it won't even include a residency requirement, meaning participants can easily limit their local tax liabilities. In other news from the legislature, the ruling coalition scored two victories in the Chamber of Deputies. First, lawmakers sanctioned a $170 million payout to settle a decades-long dispute with holdout hedge funds from the infamous 2001 default, narrowly meeting a strict judicial deadline. Right after that, the lower house approved the highly controversial Super Rehe Bill. This law grants extraordinary tax, customs, and foreign exchange benefits for 30 years to foreign companies investing over $1 billion in entirely new high-tech industries. Opponents slammed the bill as a giveaway to anonymous corporate giants, but the government managed to pass it after agreeing to require that 20% of project inputs be sourced from local suppliers. This legislative push to deregulate and attract tech giants reflects a broader philosophical alignment inside the administration. Writing for the Buenos Aires Times in English, Agostino Fontevecchio explores the intersection of algorithms, artificial intelligence, and Milei's narrow ethical worldview. To read the full piece, check out the link in the show notes. Back to the topic of investments, the central bank has significantly modified banking regulations by allowing local companies that do not generate export revenues to take out loans in dollars. This undoes a strict restriction put in place after the 2001 banking collapse, which was meant to prevent businesses from taking on foreign currency debt without a natural hedge against devaluation. The government is making this move to put to work the mountain of idle dollar deposits that locals brought back into the banking system following recent tax incentives. However, credit rating agencies have already issued warnings, noting that the system will now be heavily exposed if the peso experiences sudden exchange rate volatility. While the wealthy get new investment tools, ordinary citizens are facing a rough start to the month. A fresh wave of price hikes hit on Wednesday the 1st. In the Buenos Aires metropolitan area, water rates are up 3%, gas is up nearly 3%, and public transport is getting significantly pricier. To make matters worse, the national government published a resolution freezing the state's contribution base for the SUBE social tariff subsidy. This means if local municipalities raise transit fares further, the state will not cover the 55% discount on the difference, leaving the poorest commuters to pay the balance out of pocket. On a brighter note for families, the Ministry of Human Capital presented some good news regarding primary education. The results of the nationwide Apprendere 2025 exams revealed that nearly 77% of sixth grade students achieved satisfactory or advanced levels in literacy and language skills. This marks the highest academic performance recorded in the last decade. The data showed significant literacy improvements across all socioeconomic levels, with the most dramatic academic advances occurring in vulnerable schools that are part of the National Literacy Plan. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Anything to ask or tell us, info@rorschach.com. Nos vemos la próxima semana.